If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
The hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio as we welcome in the Wintrust Business Lunch for this growing sunny day. More sun on the way. Frank Sennett will be here a little bit later in the show to talk about a big IPO for one of those meatless companies is going. I think Beyond Meat, they announced earlier this week that they are going to file for an IPO, and that means big money for the people who were there in time. We'll also talk about buying a house online. iPurchases for homes, a sight unseen. I don't know if you're ready for that, but the real estate world is preparing for it, and that's around the corner. But we always start on Wednesdays, or when we're lucky anyway, we start on Wednesdays with Terry Savage, and here she is on a phone line. Terry, welcome back.
Good to be with you. Did you notice the irony, by the way, about Beyond Meat, that one of the key initial investors is the former chairman of McDonald's,
yes.
John Thompson?
Yeah.
He's a real smart guy and competent, too.
Well, it's the food industry. I mean, it's all food in one form or another, and this is one of the ways we're moving, I think.
There have been a lot of advocates for, I was there on the board for many years when we put the McLean Deluxe on the menu, which
right.
was bound together with a derivative of seaweed, and everybody immediately said, oh, my God, there's seaweed in the burgers. That didn't last long. So I think there are a lot more people that are being concerned with the amount of beef and meat
I think Tyson's invested quite a lot in alternative
yeah.
meats as well. Now, Orion, if he's listening, I know he doesn't like the term alternative meats because they're not meats at all, which I understand, but it's where we're headed. Okay, so wait. So, I don't know if we should start with the stock market. You know, we've erased all the losses of December. We're back in happy days. But
all the losses of December were up like 18 or 19% on the Dow from the lows at the end of December.
Well, yeah, that's what I said.
An astounding rally.
Yeah.
I mean, wish you could have erased the memory of the losses, but the losses are long ago gone, unless you sold out.
And which you always advise against, right? Long-term investing.
Right. Hang in there.
So what's happening in the next 6 months in the market?
I have no idea. It's just wrong to assume that a trend in motion can't remain in motion. In fact, that's the likely thing. But, you know, there's so much going on in politics doesn't seem to matter so much. But in the world of economics, interest rates, the Federal Reserve, and so forth, it's silly to forecast. The approach to take is, okay, we've had a giant bull market. How close am I to needing this money in retirement? How conservative do I want to get? And that's the way I always approach
all right.
the exposure to the stock market.
Maybe we'll get back to that in a minute or two, but I want to make sure we have time. You had a sit-down with Stephen Moore, who it looks like he's not formally been nominated to the Fed by President Trump yet, right?
No, he has not been formally
okay.
nominated. Today you ran into some more flack in the media on comments he made, but it was an event at the Union League Club about his last book written with Art Laffer called Trumponomics.
Okay, so you brought up the trouble, so let's just get that out of the way. Some video came up of him in 2014 referring to how much he loved Chicago in the Midwest, but he said he would never live
in Chicago.
Yeah, he said he would never live in Cleveland or Cincinnati, one other town, because he called them the armpits of the Midwest. And so Sherrod Brown, the senator from Ohio, says those are disqualifying statements. I think Stephen Moore's done a lot of
We don't have free speech in this country anymore.
Well, I mean, but okay, before you get to the book,
I don't think Stephen Moore, to be fair, ever thought that he was going to be so intimately vetted for the position. I don't think he ever aspired to this position. In fact, I asked him. He said, you know, Terry, he said this in front of the audience, the honest thing is this is going to cost me a lot. I think Herman Cain bowed out, and I believe him, because Stephen Moore said this to me. The salary for a Federal Reserve board member is $189,000, and it's a big come down for guys who speak for $20,000, $25,000
a pot. I'm sorry.
And have to divest other things.
I don't believe.
Sorry, but that's a fact of life.
No, I'll get that, but I don't believe Herman Cain backed out because of the salary. They Herman Cain.
Oh, yeah, I do, actually.
I think he got his legs cut out from under him because people came, Trump came to realize what kind of baggage he brought with him.
Oh, that too, but that's par for the course these days, and he showed he was a, you know, I don't know Herman Cain. All I'm saying is we had a very interesting discussion about economics, and I want to tell you something. I've been thinking about this a lot. Because it's very hard to have an economic discussion these days without politics being involved. And my opening question to him is, look, I can listen to your economics, and I want to ask you about them. But you wrote this book, Trumponomics. They were advisors during the campaign, he and Art Laffer and Larry Kudlow. And I need to ask you this, Stephen Moore. All of the things that happened during the campaign and since, the remarks about women putting children in cages, can you get, how does one get beyond those moral concerns and still say that he's got, which is what Moore does, that he thinks Trump's got this great economic policy that's going to move the nation forward? And that's the toughest. I don't, just, we don't want you to have to bother with that answer. The point is,
no, I want to know what that, the, what did he say?
Well, his answer was that only a growing economy can solve the huge economic problems, most basically our national debt, but our student loan problems and so forth. Only a growing economy can solve our economic problems, and therefore to discuss any other issues is not as important as getting the economy growing again. So but I let him move beyond that. And here's what I think. And I think on an economic basis, America really is at a crossroads. I've never heard anyone defend capitalism in recent weeks as articulately. It's been pinned on billionaires defending their wealth. But he made a really good defense of capitalism, nor, can I must say, I've been really shocked at a generation that thinks socialism, which I grew up under watching the Soviet Union and Cuba, destroy great wealth and riches. I never thought we'd have that debate again between capitalism and socialism.
I don't think we're having...
So I think that's the most fascinating economic thing going on.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a serious debate, but I think people are throwing...
Oh, because we can't get beyond the politics and whether you paid your child support in what you called Cleveland, and we can't get beyond a million other issues.
What I was going to say was that... I don't think it will be because hopefully that, I mean, well, I shouldn't say hopefully, but I think those are Democratic extremists and it's going to crush them. If they keep talking like that, they're going to be crushed. And I think Nancy Pelosi and others are trying to, you know, put a damper on that because I agree with you. It's not the right debate to have. We got to run, but the last thing I'll say, and you just tell me what you think, would he be nominated for the Fed if he wasn't on CNN as a Trump apologist? It seems to me like this is one of those guys.
No, he would be nominated by Trump because he and Art Laffer got to Trump early on, and they say that his views were exactly their views, that you need to cut taxes to grow the economy. Now, what his reasoning behind it is, as opposed to the whole Laffer curve thing, is up for debate. But at any rate, I think that Trump put Kudlow in his position, and I think he's putting Moore in that position. I asked
just
that.
Think,
I want to give
think.
You the most surprising quote of the
we've
day.
He told me
that Donald Trump is brilliant.
We've got to run, but just think if Donald Trump listened to the Business Lunch, you could be in line for a government job.
Oh, God forbid.
Terry Savage is on a phone line and has a new column up on her website, terrysavage.com, all about Social Security and some questions about Medicare as well. So I just had a meeting with my financial advisor this week, TS Financial. I love them. And so we're looking at retirement numbers and all of this stuff. So this is a perfect column for me, and you say wait as long as you can to take in your Social Security.
All right, this column, guess what chapter of my book I'm working on now, by the way? Surprise. Okay.
Coming out in September.
Well, I'm the most up-to-date person now, for a moment anyway, on Social Security and Medicare that you know. And I thought about all the things people don't know about this most important aspect of their lives. So let's talk about, especially, by the way, given the headlines about how underfunded Social Security is, and they actually, they'll move the year out for
they're gonna
insolvency,
fix that.
right. Which does not mean the end of Social Security. It means it won't be able to pay full benefits, only about three quarters of them, till 2035. But let's just talk about why that creates a big mistake for many people, because many people figure, I got to get it while I can get it, and I'm going to take it early. And that is about the biggest mistake Americans can make. Every month, every year, you delay.
It don't do me no good if I'm...
It does me
no good if I'm dead.
Oh, please. You know what your life expectancy now is? Go to living2100.com and take the test. I guarantee you, Steve, that you're going to find yourself way up in the 90s. And most people aren't planning for that, even though the actuarial age is still around the early 80s. So let me tell you that every year you delay from age 62 till full retirement age, which is now creeping up, it's over age 66 and soon will be 67, until age 70 when you must take them, every year you delay is like an 8% increase in benefits you're giving up. And in fact, the difference if you from claiming at 62 till waiting till 70 is a 76% increase in your Social Security check. And remember, that's the base on which you will get future inflation adjustments.
And it doesn't mean that you can't retire earlier, just focus more on your retirement savings.
The whole point of that would be, take more of your money out from your IRA and delay your Social Security check. So that's 40% of Americans claim Social Security at age 62 or before they reach full retirement age.
What are the numbers? Like 50% of people rely on...
I did that for at least 50% of retirees rely on Social Security for 90% of their benefit.
One in five,
90% of their income. And Social Security is 50% of the income for about half of today's seniors. The average check is, and these are people that have worked and paid in at the top rate for many years, is still only a little over $2,800 a month. But many seniors, especially widows or widowers, are getting half their spouse's benefits, and they're living on $1,500, $1,800 a month checks.
So I've been saying, I've been living my whole adult life with this threat that, you better not plan on Social Security. It's not going to be there when you retire. All of this. It is absolutely going to be there when I retire. It's going to be there when I die. They just need to make changes to it, right? I mean, for example, the cap. They need to raise the cap on what people are pay their income. That would be a big step toward fixing it. They can fix this, and they will fix it. It's just a matter of when it gets bad enough to force their hand.
Exactly, and it's a shame because if they wait till it gets bad enough, till they must focus on it, the solutions will be more difficult. The solutions will be as follows. I know I don't like them. I'm not advocating them, but you're right. We pay Medicare tax on all of our earned income. Social Security stops. I knew the number yesterday, but about $158,000. You will pay Social Security tax on all your income. They will probably tax the benefits. Now only 85% of the benefits are taxed, depending on your income, but they will probably increase taxes. There will be all kinds, and of course they'll have to delay the retirement age. But the point is, don't cheat yourself out of the today and tomorrow because you're worried about the apocalypse. Because you're right, some kind of a solution will come up with it. And you're dealing with your benefits. So that's one of the big ones.
All right. And I got to run. I got to run, Terry. I'm sorry.
Read the column. It's at terrysavage.com, and I'll see you next week.
I'll call you tonight. We'll talk about it.
Okay, fine.
Thanks very much, David Jennings. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And John Williams will be along coming up at 1 o'clock, and we are expecting a news conference from Crystal Lake Police as well at 1 o'clock, and we will carry that here live as it occurs. Several developments today in the search for a missing 5-year-old boy there. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk about buying a house, or if you're from Canada, a house online. Just a couple of clicks. Are you ready to do that? I don't know if I am. We just sold a condo, or in the process of selling a condo, and man, it would have been nice to be able to just post it online and sell it that way. That might be the future. So that's coming up later. But right now, Frank Senna from Crane Chicago Business is on a phone line. Frank, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
So would you buy a house online? I mean, the model is cars, and people thought no one would ever buy a car online, and they're buying cars online now.
Yeah, and they've even got that vending machine up in Schaumburg, right, where you can Carvana and you can buy it and then take a big coin and get your car via a vending machine after you buy it online. I don't know. With a house, I think I'd really want to walk around it and hear the barking dogs next door and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, but when I was reading the article, and it's in MarketWatch, you know, I think there are a lot of people when they're in sales or they're being transferred, it's not unheard of that people were buying houses sight unseen, or at least one of the spouses unseen.
That's true.
Okay, so that's later in the program. When they move into the house, the big question is, will it come with a gas grill? And if it does, can you grill Beyond Meat products on it? The answer would be yes, right?
That's a wonderful segue. And yes, it's making me hungry. We've got a former McDonald's CEO, Don Thompson. He stands to gain millions of dollars in a pending IPO for the vegan food company Beyond Meat. It's filed this week to sell about 9 million shares.
Terry Savage was on earlier. She used to be on the board of McDonald's talking about Don Thompson and the profits here. But Beyond Meat, this is one of the growing products, right, or companies that is creating, I think they're essentially plant-based alternative proteins. I know there are lab-based alternative proteins as well. They are, Orion is sensitive to this, so I have to be careful with my words, but they're meat-like products, right? And they would replace a traditional slab of meat on the dinner table.
That's right. You've got the Impossible Burger and all that kind of stuff. I haven't tried a veggie burger in years, you know, back when it was just like little bean patties or whatever. So.
Right.
But people have good reviews for a lot of these.
I have had, I don't know if it's Beyond Meat or I think I've had the Impossible Burger, and they're great. I mean, I think they're fine. I'm happy with them.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, more beef for me. More beef for me.
Really, you're not going to go for it?
I mean, I'd try a bite, I guess, but I, you know, why mess with the real thing?
But there are big food companies getting behind it. Tyson is one of the investors in Beyond Meat. They're looking at other alternatives as well. It does seem like it's the direction we're heading, or at least that it's a growing area.
Yeah, I mean, the population, you know, trending toward, you know, more vegetarianism, more veganism, and just the sustainability issues with, you know, cattle production, for sure. I mean, it is definitely growing to beyond a niche to being part of the, you know, the mainstream of food delivery.
You know, I had a guy on a few weeks ago who wrote a piece, I've forgotten, but the idea was that, you know, because we think, well, this is great, it's so much better than the environment, it reduces the methane in the environment and all of that stuff. But his point was that it's not quite as clear as that. It's kind of hard to figure out because it's never actually been studied. It might not be as big a benefit for the environment as we think. But anyway, there's that laboratory meat and an IPO for Beyond Meat coming. Do we know when they're going to start selling? What, start trading?
That is unclear to me. But okay. It's going to be $19 to $21 is the strike price. You know, people like Don Thompson bought in for $4 a share. When it does pop, I think we're going to see some nice winners from those early investors.
All right, let's go to the northern suburbs, far northern suburbs. AbbVie is a drug company in North Chicago. They are the company that brings us Humira, which has been a great moneymaker for them, right? Or a profit, I think it was 60% of their sales last year. Came from
right.
AbbVie, but they're not from AbbVie, but from Humira. The problem is it's about to become generic, and so they're going to lose that cash cow, forgive the reference there. And so they've got to come up with alternatives, right, to keep things going. And it looks like they have a psoriasis drug that might at least move toward fitting the bill.
Yeah, there's been a lot of concern what's going to replace that cash cow, and the U.S. FDA has now approved a new drug from AbbVie that could help replace some of those revenues. The approval is for a drug called, Skyrizi, Skyrizi.
What's
and
the
it
generic
is a
name?
Treatment to,
is there a generic name for it?
Oh, you want to make me say that? Rizankizumab. I think I turned into a superhero when I said that just now. A lightning bolt came from the sky, and here I am.
I am so impressed.
Yeah, and it treats moderate to severe plaque psoriasis in adults. It's an injectable that has to be injected either by a medical professional or by the patients themselves after they get trained.
All right, so, and that just got FDA approval, so we'll probably be seeing some professional athletes selling it soon to us.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, I was just at the Cranes-Cubs event up at Wrigley and got to enjoy Ryan Sandberg talking about the changes in baseball over the years, and that was quite a treat.
Well, that's nice. So Humira sales $20 billion last year, 60% from that revenue. I'm messing that up. Humira sales were at $20 billion last year, and that's about 60% of AbbVie's revenue. So there's that.
That's right.
All right, Frank.
So they want some wins to replace it, for sure.
So what else did you pick up at Wrigley Field? Any good news?
I toured all the new clubs, and the good news for me is that I think the Maker's Mark room with the speakeasy kind of feel, that's for me. And if they give me tickets to that new Catalina club so I can hang out on the upper deck, you know, I'm just going to hang around and see if anybody takes pity on me.
So what you're saying is you just went on a pub crawl at Wrigley Field.
Essentially, yeah.
Good for you. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. So what's Chicago most famous for in the springtime? Our construction season. Yeah, it sucks. Thankfully, though, the city of Chicago actually released an app that helps you pinpoint all of the projects that are going on right now. It's called Shy Street Work. Just type in your location. It shows you all of the ongoing projects, permits for construction, road closures, and more, all in an effort to try and ease some of the stress that comes with driving in the city during this time. The only kicker is that it doesn't give you turn-by-turn directions to avoid them, but still a helpful tool anyway. Way to go, Chicago. And it looks like Chicago is still doing what it does best, attracting suburban companies to come to the city. Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurants is dipping its toe into the big city pool after making their name in the suburbs all around the country. The Oak Park-based winery and restaurant is opening their very first downtown location in the Gold Coast at the old site of the Esquire Theater. I just had the sudden urge for wine. Hey, do you need some wine? Does anyone else want wine? Yeah, I'm gonna go grab wine. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, so I mentioned earlier, I think, that we're in the process of selling a condo that we had in Buffalo Grove. And when we did it, you know, you had to get everything ready to sell. And then there was the marketing where they took the pictures and they put the fake furniture and all of that. So I know all of that stuff when it comes to selling homes, condos, and things like that. But what about just buying one altogether over the internet? That's something that Andrea Riquier has written about for MarketWatch.com. And she joins us on a phone line now. Andrea, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so this is kind of hard for me, I think. You're going to have to talk slowly on this one. Is this a thing where people now are buying homes just sort of, you're laughing because it's like, it's not really sight unseen.
This is a thing.
Yeah, but it's like you're not standing in the living room, right? You're not seeing the cracks in the ceiling. Explain.
Sure. Let me correct you a little bit, if you don't mind, Steve.
Absolutely.
Actually, what's going on right now is actually the process of selling to a company much more than buying from a company.
Okay.
And as you pointed out in your intro, it is absolutely the biggest pain in the butt to get your house ready to be sold, to have people come in every Sunday traipsing around. In the evenings after work, you have to take the dog out. You have to get the kids out. You have to, you know, lock up the valuables. It is a really awful process to sell a home.
And so now the movement... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, over the past couple of years, the movement has been towards companies. They're usually called iBuyers, and the I stands for instant, as in an instant offer. So if you are a homeowner, instead of calling a realtor and having the realtor come over and, you know, go through the process of listing the home, marketing it, and everything like that, you can call one of these companies, Open Door, OfferPad, or two of the bigger ones, and say, hey, give me an offer right now.
And they just buy the house.
In certain markets where they operate, not so much in the Midwest, unfortunately, but in the markets where they operate, if your home meets the criteria, they will make you an offer on the spot. And what is really game-changing about this is not even so much the fact that you don't have to go through 2 months, 3 months, 4 months on the market, but you can say, sold, I will take your offer, and we will close on June 1st. Wow. So I can get the kids ready, you know, the kids can finish the school year.
Now, Andrea,
So,
you know, back in the housing boom, I was getting these offers from people who wanted to buy my house and tear it down. I have a nice house, by the way, Andrea. I really like my house, I live on a block where almost every house was torn down or completely rehabilitated. And, you know, so you'd get those flyers in the mail, we want to buy your house, which was kind of an insult because, you know, it meant you had a dumpy house, or at least that's the way I took it. Are these the houses we're talking about?
Don't take it as an insult. They want your house.
I guess, yeah, but I know what they're going to do with it.
No, in fact, many people have sort of pointed out that you know, there's not a lot new necessarily in real estate, right? This is, in some ways, you know, sort of a .com new age version of we buy ugly houses, which is what you're sort of alluding to.
Right.
But it's different. You know, these companies don't have the resources to literally buy ugly houses that need a lot of work. They have the resources to buy homes that are pretty homogenous, you know, that fit in the bucket that works for them. That's why they're not so much in the Midwest or the Northeast yet. They're sort of in the Smile States and in the warm areas where housing stock is newer and a little bit more uniform.
And so they buy the houses and then they turn them around and presumably sell them at a profit. They can afford to keep them on the market a little bit longer.
Well, that's the question.
Right, we don't know
right
yet.
Now, for the past couple of years, we've been in an up market, right? So there is always going to be a buyer for the houses that these companies have bought. The question is, what will happen in a down market?
Right, so how does Zillow fit into this? Because that's how I spend my evenings. I look at my neighbor's homes on Zillow and get this estimate.
Exactly. Zillow, about a year ago, said that it was going to launch something called Zillow Offers, and everybody sort of said, ooh, this is big. Zillow has always been a media company. That's why you and other people like to sit and look at it, you know, look at houses and look at, you know, click, click, click. And everybody said, ooh, this is now Zillow is actually becoming a real estate company. And then about two or three months ago, they actually said, we are going all out on this. We are hitching our wagon to the iBuying future.
Right.
We are going to buy 5,000 homes a month, which is huge.
Right. Are they doing it?
No, not even close. They did, again, they started in April of last year and bought, throughout last year, bought something like 600 homes. When we get the first quarter earnings from them in about a week or so, we'll hear more about the first quarter where they've really sort of gone all in on this.
It's a fascinating It's fascinating to me because, again, taking it back to my condo sale, we owned it for a short time. We weren't, you know, it wasn't like going to be, it's not like we had a lot of equity in it. We just wanted to turn it around. And this would have been a great situation for this, so I can see how it could be appealing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The story that I wrote about a week ago, you know, talks about how a lot of the traditional lines in real estate are sort of blurring. A lot of mom and pop, real estate offices and a lot of the bigger national brokerages are looking at this as a tool that a traditional realtor could use.
We will continue to follow it. Andrea Riccier writes for MarketWatch. Thanks, Andrea. I love talking to you.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.